And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. I'm Bob Popper. Over the next hour, we get you set for the Giants and the Houston Texans. We'll tell you about the 10 things you need to know. I've got my Hall of Famer, Harry Carson. I've got two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks, and our protector, the one and the only Roman Oben. Let's take a look at the menu for this week's show. Coming up, we'll talk with Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. Also featured in our show today, we're going to give you an in-depth breakdown of J.J. Watt. You don't want to miss that. Jameel McClain will join us in studio, and we'll have our Big Blue Challenge results from last week and get you set for this week's game between the Giants and Texans. But item number one goes up on the board. We call this our no huddle. Put 25 seconds up on the clock. And time for our experts to weigh in on the Big Blue. All right, fellas. Harry, we always start with you as our captain for life. And you say, keep it simple, stupid.
Well, you know, I went to see the Eagles this week, and one of their favorite songs is I Can't Tell You Why. So I can't tell you why Arizona came in here last week from the West Coast and won the game. I can't tell you why the Giants made mistakes to lose the game. I can't tell you why the second-string quarterback, who 90 minutes before the game became the player of the game for the Arizona Cardinals. What I want to say is I want to see this team line up, play basic football, and just go after people. Just keep it simple.
Keep it simple. When you said you went to see Eagles, I thought you meant you went to watch the Philadelphia
Eagles. No, the band.
Which, I'll tell you what, they've got a brisk offense, and they get things done. They're off to a 2-0 start. All right, Carl Banks, 25 seconds on the clock for you with your weekly proverb.
Well, there's never a good time to get it going, meaning this schedule isn't getting easier. It won't be convenient. They've got to get it going right away because it just gets tougher with each loss.
Wow, Carl coming in well under time.
He's a sage.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you're using proverbs, stitching time saves nine. All right, Roman, 25 seconds on the clock, and you say it's rally time for the Giants.
Yeah, and I have to go back to just the psychology of going 0-3. I mean, we went through this time last year, and you start to say, can the coach reach the players anymore? And all the negative stuff that comes as a result of going 0-3. So these guys really got to play for each other. And you got to break the huddle and go out there and attack this other team because four drops, missed tackles, a punt return for a touchdown in the fourth quarter, it's not good enough to get it done against this team or any other team.
And, guys, what about starting fast? I mean, right away, the first play of the game, Arizona hits a 19-yard pass play. They go on an 80-yard drive. The Giants have a turnover early. They never seem to get any momentum going their own way, get the crowd behind them. They've got to do it to get the crowd going.
Yeah, I really couldn't figure it out because this is the opening game of football season at home, and you really need to start quick, especially when you're at home. You have to really set the tempo. And I saw early on, we're going to have some problems during the course of this game.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, you know, you guys, both of you guys know the importance of starting fast. And we haven't seen the Giants really start fast this season or last season?
Well, and it looks like it's a team that just kind of waits to see how it's going to go. They've got to be very assertive right out the gate.
Roman, what about that mentality of kind of taking charge early?
Yeah, and I think every team offensively, you know, you have your openers, like your first 10 plays, you go out there, your first third down. And when you go out there and just put some points on the board, that first series, whether it's 3 or 7 points, mentally, it does something to the team, and it shows the other side of the ball, whether it's offense or defense, that those guys are busting their humps for us, and we have to do the same thing. And that's how you really start with that momentum early in the game.
All right, we've got a lot to go here on the program, and we're going to have our Big Blue Challenge a little bit later on in the show. Guys, I'm going to put the grade out after the question that was posed last week, and we'll pose our next question as well. That's coming up a little bit later on in the show. Well, let's take a look at some of the programming coming up as far as Giants First and 10 is concerned. It debuts each and every Friday night on MSG, and it can be seen throughout the course of the weekend. 10 things to get you ready for the Giants and their upcoming opponent. In the case this week, it's the Houston Texans. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, the head coach of the Giants, Tom Coughlin, joins us as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Back to Giants First and 10 here on the MSG Networks. On Sunday, it's the Giants and Houston Texans at MetLife Stadium. Item number two goes up on the board, and item number two is the head coach of the New York Giants, Tom Coughlin, who joins us in studio. Coach, Obviously, the third game of the season, second home game in a row. Talk about the message to your team heading into this game.
Well, the message is really simple. You know, again, back to the business of stop beating ourselves. You know, and you must do that before you can even think about beating the opposition. But there's so many areas. If you want to go penalties, if you want to go turnovers, if you want to go win the fourth quarter, you know, win the physical battle. There's a lot of areas where we can improve our game. And if we do that and we control the other aspects of our game, then we give ourselves a great chance to win.
Coach, on that same note, when you look at the defense and some of the chunk plays, are they just blown assignments or guys just not paying attention to detail? Or should I ask, are they correctable things?
They're all correctable, Carl. The tight coverage has not been there. You know, the contested coverage has not been there. And then when it is, we've been called for either, you know, defensive holding or illegal contact or whatever. So that's an area that we believe we're better than, and we need to pick that up. We should have had two or three interceptions last weekend, and we were close, but the quick twitch is not there yet. You know, I mean, we see it a little bit late, and we're late to arrive, and the ball is being thrown, and we should be able to take advantage of that.
Coach, starting fast is something that your teams have always done as far as in-game, where you come out and you get it. Eli has driven the team many times, either the start of the game or the start of the third quarter. Yeah. How important is it for you as a group to start quickly this week?
Well, every week it is. You know, we ended up, we've kicked off our two games this year, we've kicked off at the beginning of the game. We think that was a good thing for us. You know, we put our defense out there first. Our defense gets a stop. Whatever other circumstances there are, we may have the ball at the end of the first half and then right away again in the beginning of the second half. And strategically, that would be a very good thing for us. However, it hasn't worked that way. We haven't, you know, got the ball right back from the other guy because we, quite frankly, don't have a turnover. We've got to get some takeaways from the opposition to give ourselves the ball in position that we need to be in.
Coach, each week you, and it's no secret in NFL, you face good players. Every team faces them. How important is resilience? So if you don't have success early on or things don't work, how important is it for the players to have resilience?
It's critical. It's absolutely critical, Carl. The other guys got good players. They're going to make some plays. But it's you got to come back from that. You know, you can't be discouraged. You got to come roaring back. You know, I thought we were in such great shape at 14-13. You know, we drop a ball on third down. Steve Weatherford, God bless him, he's out there punting. He is hurt. He gets a low trajectory ball. There's no hang time. We have a guy in position to make the tackle. He doesn't make the tackle. They run it in the end zone. Okay. All right. Let's settle down here. We still have a great chance. All right. Things are going to happen. There's a lot of football left to be played. But then we follow that up with another issue, you know, with fumbling the kickoff. So that's something that we definitely have to prove to ourselves as this team. As you know, teams in the past of ours have all been known for that. They've been known for resiliency. One of those teams was the team that started 0-2 and 0-7 and won the world championship. So we hang in there. You know, we look around the league. There's all kinds of circumstances in the league right now. Teams are playing and winning without key starters that are out. So it happens everywhere. You got to dig in. The mental toughness has got to kick in. You got to believe in yourselves. You got to play together again. And you can't beat yourselves. If something does go bad, hey, it's a long game. It's a long game. Overcome it. Overcome it. Make the plays necessary to overcome.
Coach, great stuff as always. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
That's New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. Now, the Giants will be going against Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans on Sunday. They have a new quarterback. He's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The running game, when that thing goes, makes an offense a lot easier, whether it's shorter third downs for the conversions or, giving the ball to your playmakers like Arian and watching him run with it. Just the number of touches you can get that guy is really going to help every game in terms of the production of your offense. So the running game is a big part of, I think, what all offenses want to do, but it's been big for us the first two games.
Ryan Fitzpatrick working with the Beard, the quarterback for the Houston Texans, as we put item number 3 up on the board. We sent Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room. And, Paul, not only is it Ryan Fitzpatrick who's playing error-free football, but they got to rely on their running game.
Yeah, you know, Arian Foster leads the NFL in rushing this season, and he's been very consistent, averaging 4.5 yards a carry. And he and DeMarco Murray of the Cowboys are the only two running backs in the NFL who have rushed for at least 100 yards in each of the first 2 weeks. But the Giants say they're ready to meet that challenge.
He's definitely, speed, agility, strength. I think the nature of that offense is one that it allows for him to create his own running lanes and take advantage of mistakes. And I see him capitalizing on those kind of things. So for us, it's really about the integrity of the defensive wall.
He's patient. You know, I've seen a couple times on film when a defense had him bottled up, and he just broke loose for another 3 or 4 or 5 yards. So it's a team effort. You know, we got to wrap up and make sure we get him down. And, we got to give him his credit. He's a great back, but, we got to bring our game.
Now, it's quite obvious the Texans are going to put the ball in Foster's hands. In fact, Mr. Banks, on 1st and 10 this year, the Texans are running the ball an incredible 73% of the time. So do you think this Giants defense is truly ready?
Well, they're going to find out, because the thing that they'll see is he's got great vision, good balance, but the play is never dead with Arian Foster. He'll stay behind his blockers as patiently as he needs to be until a seam opens up. And he's got a great explosion through it.
And you look at this scheme, right? It's Kyle Shanahan a la Alfred Morris, what he got from Kubiak, which came from Mike Shanahan. Yeah. So that in preparation, it's the same kind of scheme they were when they were preparing against the Washington Redskins in that regard.
All right, it's time to put item number 4 up on the board. And item number 4 has to deal with the defense of the Houston Texans, most notably J.J. Watt.
Yeah, that defensive end has 32 sacks in his last 34 games over the past 3 seasons. And the Giants know they got to keep an eye on him at all times.
I mean, he's coming. He got some tricks, but it's he's going full speed. So it's not like, okay, he's going to take a play off. Is he coming his play? Is he not? The hardest part is where is he going to line up. So as an offense, you all have to play for it. Right tackle's preparing for him. Left tackle's preparing for him. Guard's preparing for him. So it's not just, okay, I got J.J. Watt, and it's going to be me and him all day.
He's a guy where you watch him on film, and from snap to whistle, he's going 110 miles an hour. And that's something that not every guy has a motor like that. And, you know, it's a testament to the hard work he's put into it and the way he plays the game. So you definitely respect that, and it makes you raise your level as a player because you have to match his intensity.
And really a kind of a fast switch kind of player. So he's going to be on you quick, so you got to get your hands on him. And once he gets on, he's very powerful. So you got to kind of, brace in there and make sure he's not throwing you around everywhere.
Now, believe it or not, Watt only has 1 sack this season. But, Roman, I go to you. Even if they stop Watt, the Texans got some other weapons over there on D.
Yeah, this defense is pretty solid. You've got Brian Cushing on defense, who's coming back home. He's from New Jersey, went to Bergen Catholic. And Jonathan Joseph, who's right on that verge, that second level of the better cornerbacks in the league. So they've got their hands full defensively.
And they've got a scheme that I'm very familiar with, Romeo Crennel. So they'll do a lot of different things to have each player have an impact.
You think he's got a good handle on Crennel's scheme?
Yeah, I think so.
Just 2 Super Bowl rings. Paul, good stuff as always.
Good to be with you guys.
Well, we've been talking about J.J. Watt. When we come back, you don't want to miss our breakdown of the talented defensive lineman from the Houston Texans as we continue with Giants 1st and 10 here on MSG. J.J. Watt, obviously a dynamic playmaker, and now on both sides of the ball. As we welcome you back to Giants 1st and 10 here on MSG, time to put item number 5 up on the board, and that is J.J. Watt and Roman Oben. You're going to take a little closer look at J.J. Watt and some of the things that make him a special player.
Well, first of all, you know, J.J. Watt is really the epitome of an every down, multiple positions from a defensive line guy. He's big, he's fast. He's explosive. He can use his hands extremely well. And when you can disrupt the pocket from the inside, it's tremendous. I mean, most 3-4 guys can't go to the 4-3 mode. And he makes these guards and centers, and these phone booth players, he makes them stretch. And in a typical 4-3, he can get skinny, he can dip and rip, and do the things that a speed rush defensive end can do come around the corner. And then in the running game, He can create his own plays. You know, it's not about the scheme for him. He can take a guard, toss him, and go disrupt a run play, you know, by himself. I mean, these are some of the things that he does well. So he's really equally effective in the run and the pass as well.
So as we look at these plays of J.J. Watt, you as a former offensive lineman, how do you deal with this?
You've got to bring your lunch. You've got to block him the entire down. You can't slide to him because you don't know where he's going to line up. And so, really, this is a play where everybody's live because you don't know where he's going to line up. I mean, you see him push an offensive tackle 340 pounds into the backfield and then disrupt the pass when the line was sliding to the left. So he's all over the place, and he's very effective. He uses his ability as well.
All right, now you guys played defense, and you had some pretty good linemen in front of you as linebackers. First of all, break down the game of J.J. Watt and why you think he's a special player.
You know, he reminds me of me when I was in college and I played defensive line. I mean, honestly, he has great leverage. He has explosion off the ball. He can get off of blocks. He has strength. And he knows all of the moves to get to the quarterback. He can overpower you, but then he can also, you know, get around you. So he really is one of the more complete defensive linemen that I've ever seen, period.
And when you take that talent and you take what Roman said, not being able to allow him to rest because he has a relentless motor.
Yeah.
So you can't stop midway through a play because he'll eventually wreck it. So he's a guy, like Roman says, no downs off for him. You got to stay on him all the time because he has a great motor.
Roman, what about his ability to use his hands as we saw illustrated there? How do you combat that if you're an offensive lineman?
You got to stay on your feet. You've got to play with leverage. Again, the motor's important, but when you're 6'5", 290 pounds, and you can extend and get a guy to lean and then jerk him and get rid of him like it's a bag. I mean, literally. Guys with shorter arms really have problems with J.J. Watt. And I know, you know, Justin Pugh, some of these guys, we don't have a lot of long arm guys on this line, but it's going to be a fight. But it's not about one guy, but it's about everyone really just doing their job, running and passing.
Who is the best guy quickly that you ever had to deal with that's in a similar range to J.J. Watt?
I'd have to say Michael McCrary, who was at Baltimore. He didn't have a long career, but he just played hard every down. And obviously, Michael Strahan could do a both run and pass.
All right, guys, good stuff on J.J. Watt. The Giants, we could talk about it in the studio. They got to deal with him on Sunday. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, it's the Blitz with Anita Marks as we continue with the Giants first and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants first and 10 here on MSG. Still to come on the show, we'll be joined by Giants linebacker Jameel McClain in our online segment. Pat Hanlon joins us along with Bill Pennington of the New York Times and Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape with strategy, and we have our Big Blue Challenge. All right, we move along here with item number 6 up on the board. It's time for the Blitz with Anita Marks. Anita, how are you?
I'm great. You gentlemen ready?
Yes.
Cool. All right, let's rock and roll. Comebacks have highlighted the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. Get this, so far 3 games, a team has come back from a 17-point deficit. Wow. Here you go. What's the most memorable comeback victory in Giants history? Who wants to start off?
Hold
Carl?
On. Wait
60
for it.
Seconds.
Discuss. I think Harry and I are both agree in 86. We were reminded by Bob that we had a pretty nice comeback against the San Francisco 49ers, down 21 zip at the half.
Yeah, you know, I have to plead guilty because I often run off to Hawaii, and I don't necessarily see all Giant games, so I don't know about many of those games in the 90s and so forth. But yeah,
there weren't many comebacks
I was a part of a very important game, and that was the San Francisco 49er game in 86.
Yeah, I mean, that was on Monday Night Football,
yeah.
Giants, Niners, two best teams in the NFC. I'll give a couple other ones since we're going non-postseason, and that was non-postseason.
Only a few seconds.
2006 in Philadelphia. Giants came back, won in overtime. Plaxico
yes.
Burress got a game-winning touchdown. Eli Manning had gotten sacked 7 times in the first half. 2011 at Dallas, down 15 in the final 5 minutes. Jason Pierre-Paul blocks the field goal. Giants win, spurs them to another Super Bowl.
Nothing supersedes the 86 game against San Francisco.
Of course, it's Bavaro. And our own Don Sperling, it's his favorite play.
And the whistle has blown. Here we go. Question number two. Like Tom Coughlin, Texans head coach Bill O'Brien has made that leap from college to the pros, right? And there have been several success stories, like Chip Kelly with the Philadelphia Eagles, Jim Harbaugh with San Francisco, but we've seen others fail. So here's your question. What makes a college coach able to have that successful transition to the pros? 60 seconds back on the clock.
Well, I'll discuss.
Okay.
I think there are many factors that go into how college coaches are successful, but it's how you relate to your players.
Yeah.
That's really, really comes down to, because you've got to relinquish a little control now because you've got adults. What helps some of these coaches is the age of the roster. So if you've got guys 2 years in the league, 3 years in the league, and you only got a few veterans to get on board, it works out pretty good.
Buying in, right?
Yeah.
Buying in.
Yeah, and I also think that it's utilizing the talent that you have and not putting people in positions that they can't really excel at. And so I totally agree with what Carl said. When you've got a younger group of players, they buy in much more readily than the older guys.
And I think that one of the great examples of that is Jimmy Johnson. When he went from the University of Miami, he went to Dallas. He had recruited a lot of the guys that he drafted. Even if they didn't play at Miami,
sure,
he was really plugged into the college game. So he was a guy that had success. And he had good stuff with
the Blitz. Thank you. Fun time.
All right, let's take a look at some of the Giants programming. Of course, you're watching Giants First and 10, which debuts each and every Friday night on the MSG networks. Also, Giants programming looks like this throughout the course of the week. You got Giants Access Blue Saturday nights at 11 p.m. On Sundays, Giants Chronicles at 10 a.m. on MSG. Giants Post Game Live on My9 right after the game. And then on Tuesdays, it's Giants Rewind, which debuts at 6 p.m. Still to come on the program, we'll be joined by linebacker Jameel McClain as we continue with Giants First and 10 right here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Sunday, it's the Giants and the Houston Texans. In the offseason, the Giants addressed their linebacker position when they signed Jameel McClain, someone who is truly a self-made man.
This game to me is so beautiful because it's probably one of the only things where every day you define yourself and you tell the story of who you are and what you want to be in this league. So that's why this game is unique and it's so passionate, you know, so much love in it for me, because every day I can be who I want and I tell people who I am every snap.
And he's going to get tackled short of the first down at the 3.
Good defense.
We in here, man. Another day, another dollar, another victim to reap their soul. We got to get depth and then come downhill.
Catch across the 35 and tackled by McClain.
Oh! It ain't never easy.
Another way to get it done.
There you go. There you go. Good job. Good job.
It's not just about playing this game. You know, we play this game. We have fun in this game. But outside of the game, it's a big message.
Through adversity, through any hard time, through any bad grade that you get, know that it's a good grade around the corner. Through anything that you don't finish, know you have a chance tomorrow to finish the next one.
More speed, more speed, more speed, more speed.
Giants, Giants, Giants.
Go, 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 go. I caught you. I caught you. I caught you. If you're not finishing, you don't want to complete the drill.
It's striving to be great, and all of that is what builds this community. It's a bigger purpose than all of that.
Catch me. No, no, no. No, no, no.
Jameel McClain having fun with the kids at his youth football camp, and we put item number 7 up on the board as Jameel joins us here in studio right now. And that's got to make you feel good watching that piece, huh?
I know. That was a pleasant surprise. You guys come with the surprises. It was nice, man. It was really nice.
How has the adjustment been to going from Baltimore to now being a Giant?
The adjustment was smooth. You know, I'm an East Coast guy. You know, unfortunately, I've been up and down, and it's good. You know, I go from one good organization to a great organization, you know, so it's a complete blessing. You know, a lot of people don't get the opportunity to do that type of transition, so I'm happy about it.
Jameel, you talk about adversity in that interview. You talk about, you know, the next opportunity if you have a little bit of a setback. Talk about how this team, this defense, is dealing with adversity. Some of it you look at and you say, oh, it's pretty easy. They can fix that. They can do this. But how are you dealing with that?
You know what? We're focusing on the details, you know, and that's what the game is. You know, as you all know, you got to focus on the small things in order to be great at the big things. And when you put all of these different mindsets, you know, we got a lot of new people here, and I'm one of them. So we all got to think on the same page, and we're getting it. You know, you see slowly, like, all right, that mistake that happened last week didn't happen this week, and that mistake isn't happening. So now we get to a point where everything just completely rolls, and you just got a defense that's so in sync that you really don't even have to talk. It could be as simple as a head nod, and they like, all right, I understand exactly what he's saying.
Coming over here from Baltimore, your experience with that organization, you know, being around Ray Lewis, and what have you taken from that to bring to this organization and just really more this specific group of young linebackers?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that I bring or that I received in Baltimore was, one, preparation. You know, preparation is everything in this league. You know, you got to, when you come in on your Wednesday meeting, you got to know as much as the coaches know, or just enough where if they say it, it clicks for you, and you know that you're in the right direction as far as studying. And that's something that we have done, you know, as a linebacker group. And then aggression. Aggression was always here. You know, the New York Giants have always been an aggressive defense, and that's something that I bring, too. And it's something that, you know, I have no plan on toning down, and nobody else in the linebacker group has a plan on toning down. So preparation and aggression is the one thing that I think I can attribute to this defense the most, or I try my hardest to.
So as you go into the next game, you know that you've got to prepare not only for what the opponent's doing now, which you've seen on tape, but also you have to prepare for some of the things that they've seen from you guys. Are you guys, when you talk about attention to detail, are you saying, okay, we've got to correct this because we're going to see it until we stop it? Now we got to look at what they do best as well?
Exactly. That's the NFL, you know, and that's the standard. You know, once you're in this league for past a year, you understand. If you make a mistake, every coordinator is going to copycat that and try to do it next week. So you have to prepare overtime. You have to prepare for what you made mistakes on. You know, maybe some they hit you on, maybe some they didn't hit you on. So you got to prepare for all of it. And you also got to be in tune with what they do the best, you know. So that's just a lot of focus, a lot of communication, and a lot of time on the field and off the field on how to become a better team.
Explain to some of the fans that it's never really about the other guy, whether it's Aaron Foster, Megatron, Fitzgerald, whoever, but about what you guys do during the week to prepare for each battle from that linebacker position.
Yeah, you know, people fall into the premise that, you know, don't get it twisted. You know, there are great players in this league. You know, there are just some people that can dominate completely. But ultimately, it comes down to how the defense plays the defense within the scheme.
Right.
And the moment that you step outside of the scheme, that's when those great players can just expose you. You know, and some of our mistakes have been people playing out of position, you know, and I'll be the first to take it. I played out of position a lot. You know, I played out of it. A lot of people have played out of it. And the moment that we all continue to be accountable for our mistakes, the better we can become a better defense, the faster we become a better defense.
Just quickly in wrapping up, what makes Arian Foster so good?
His vision. His vision, man. His vision and balance, you don't see that much in this league. And he's a very big back. And you can see him get hit by someone in his leg, and he'll just make a spin move, and right off of the spin, there'll be a stiff move. You know, he'll know exactly where everybody's coming and where to go. You know, he's very aware on the football field, and a lot of running backs, they're one cut, but, you know, Arian has the ability, and I know from my experiences in the AFC, that he can see all the way on the right side of the field and all the way on the left and look in this direction, and, you know, sometimes he catches people out of those schemes.
All right, something to watch for on Sunday. We appreciate a couple of minutes. Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate being here.
Thank you.
You know, making me look good with the video.
That's it. It was. Jamil McClain joining us here on the program. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Pat Hanlon joins us for our online segment. You don't want to miss it as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG.
You know, I think you treat every game as a must-win. You don't want to put, you know, too much, you know, any extra pressure on guys. But, you know, we know we got to get things going. We got to start playing better football, and it starts right here in facility and at practice and having a great week. And then when it's game time, we got to step up and make some plays and do our job.
That's Giants quarterback Eli Manning as we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG Sunday. It's the Giants and Houston Texans. Time for our online segment. Joining me as always, the Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hanlon. Pat, how are you? Your quarterback said all the right things there.
Yeah, and that's the guy that's going to get it right, help get it right.
It is time for item number 8. We've got Bill Pennington of the New York Times, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. And Bill, we'll start with the Giants' inability to run the ball, which is something that they did pretty well in the preseason, but it hasn't transferred to the regular season yet.
No, I mean, they're averaging about 67 yards a game. I mean, there's no way they're going to win, you know, with that kind of total. And it sets up everything else. It sets up the pass game. It puts everything in balance. And if they don't run this week, I don't think they'll win again. But I think there is some hope because the Texans, you know, have been kind of soft against the run so far.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, though, is even though they didn't have great run yardage last week, we saw those three-yard runs when they were in a rhythm set up the play-action pass a little bit. So volume of running is also important, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to stick with it. You've got to commit to it. And, you know, I mean, fortunately, if you get the lead, it makes it a lot easier. So it would be helpful if they get ahead in the game.
But it's like everything else. You'd like to get more production out of the volume.
Sure. All right. So that leads us to the passing game, Paul. And I know that's where you want to kind of take this in
He's
that direction.
Our passing game coordinator.
Yeah. I think it was a very interesting week for Victor Cruz. Very interesting. You know, he heard some boos last week. Not a lot, but a little bit. Two drops, which is too many for the best receiver on the team. He came out earlier and said, "I want the ball," which was not egotistic. It was, "I want to help. I want the ball." It was fine.
Whoa. Perspective?
Well, look, the coach wasn't upset by it. Nobody was upset by it. But when you come out and you drop the ball, it puts you in the crosshairs.
Victor didn't just drop a couple balls. It's when he dropped those balls.
Yeah, and I mean, with Odell Beckham Jr. still, you know, with his hamstring injury, where do they get this production?
Let's talk about 1 and 2. It starts with Cruz, and then it goes to Randall. Those are the guys. You get the protection. Eli was in a good rhythm last
week. Great rhythm.
He really looked good. His stats would have been even better if they didn't have the drops. That's why it was so ridiculous that they lost the game and scored only 14 points.
I mean, the Giants have actually completed some screen passes this year. I mean, I thought that was illegal. The Giants have a screen pass.
It was. It used to be.
How do you slow down Arian Foster when you don't have your best linebacker, and who fills that role, and what do they do with the linebacker position? Because you know at certain times the D-line is going to get blocked.
Right.
I mean, that's just sometimes the other guys are going to win. Who are the linebackers that are going to clean up the mess?
Well, I mean, you gotta hope they can find McClain and, you know, hope that it works. But I think the defensive line is just going to have to play better. They're going to have to take the pressure off the linebackers.
Spencer Paisinger has to come out of, you know, mothballs and not just be a special teams player. He's been a starter in the league. He knows what he's doing. He's not a dominant player. And Jaquan Williams, you know, Jaquan Williams had the best summer of his career. And I, frankly, have been somewhat disappointed at him in the first two games. He's been okay. He needs to be better. Let's go. Make plays.
You ready to go?
Let's go. Schwartz just said it.
Yep. Prediction time.
I think the Giants win 21-14. I think they run the ball well enough. I think it's kind of their time. I can't see them losing every game or the first six games like they did last year.
Okay.
I picked the Giants to win last week, and I was wrong. I'm picking them to win this week. I reserve the right to be wrong again. But I just think this is the right time, right place. Giants are so desperate to win, I think they find a way to win.
I like the way he said I was wrong, like that's a headline. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Pat, good stuff.
Let's get it right, Bob.
All right, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Paul. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on Giants First and 10, Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape, plus the Big Blue Challenge as we continue with Giants First and 10 after this. Twenty-five seconds on the clock for you with your weekly proverb. Yeah, I guess, you know, when you're using proverbs, stitching time saves nine. Think he's got a good handle on pronouncing?
Yeah, I think so.
Just two Super Bowl rings.
I picked the Giants to win last week, and I was wrong. I'm picking them to win this week. I reserve the right to be wrong again.
That was the Geico Show Recap. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG on Sunday at 1 o'clock, it's the Giants and Houston Texans. Time for item number 9 as we turn into strategy with Carl Banks as he goes to the coach's tape and breaks it down.
All right, let's take a look at the Texans' offense. There are two players that you have to know where they are at all times. Arian Foster, Andre Johnson. Now, Let's take a look here what the run fake will do for the outside of the offense to get him open. You'll see linebacker, linebacker, safety, all headed towards the line of scrimmage, and there's no one in this window to squeeze the slant route down. Easy window. So it's very important for the outside of the defense, meaning the cornerback and the safety, not to get too anxious to stop the run. Trust that your front seven will handle the run and your safety can be right here in this window to stop the slant play. Corner must squeeze it in. Safety should be right there. Now, if the safety doesn't get nosy, that's an interception. Now, looking at the Texans' defense, public enemy number one, 99, J.J. Watt. He's not always the guy that makes the play, but he's the guy that makes the play better. And you'll see here, they're in sort of an overload formation here, and an over is what you call it. The entire defense is shifted, leaving a lot of room on this side. How do they correct that? They call what they have a slam, where everyone just takes the gap to the opposite side of them, and then your linebacker, watch and see what he does here. Here's your slam. Everybody's going in. Linebacker loops around. Very important for the offensive line to identify 99, but it's also important that they know when there's an overload so they can protect against players hitting the inside gap. Back to you, Bob.
Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. All right, it's time for this week's edition of the Big Blue Challenge. Item number 10 goes up on the board. So each and every week, I ask my esteemed colleagues to sort of give me an idea of how they think the game's going to unfold, and we have a point system. So, Harry, you're first up. Last week, you said Giants wide receivers.
Yeah.
So Giants wide receivers. So I have to be honest with you, Harry. As I judge this, I know that they had some catches, and I know Reuben Randall had a touchdown catch, but when you drop clutch passes like they did last week, Harry, your receivers got you 1 point.
Okay.
Last week, the previous week, you had three, so you have a season total of four. All right?
They failed me.
Carl Banks, you said the Giants' offensive line. Mm-hmm. Now, their pass protection was fantastic. Eli had an opportunity to deal it all over the yard. They didn't run block all that well. The Giants didn't run the ball well. But I'm going to give you 3 points for that. I'm going to give you 3 points for the O-line.
That's
I think
generous.
They showed improvement.
I don't know if they had a tackle for loss, though. Did they give up any loss?
No, and I don't even think I think there was one tackle for loss and a run. I think Andre Williams had a minus
one. That's pretty
one.
Good. That could be 3.5 points.
Not a lot of hits. You had two the
How
previous
about 3.5?
Week. 3.5. So you are now at a total of
do we
five.
Do fractional hands?
There's no fractional points.
I'm dying, Bob.
All right, Roman,
last week I'm drowning.
When I asked you which position group would have the biggest impact on the game, you said the Giants running backs.
I can't tell you why.
Rashad Jennings fumbled in
the
a
ghost
big
fumble.
Spot.
Oh, I know.
Really weren't able to get
Impact.
Anything going.
I'm hurting, man.
You know what? Just because I like you.
Throw me a life raft. Throw
gonna,
me something.
I'm
give
give
a
you
point
one.
Five.
I'm
throw me a bone,
one.
Bob. Come
you
on.
Get one point.
Bob.
You had
throw me a bone.
You
throw me a bone.
You had 1 point the week before. So you are currently at 2 points for the season.
Yeah, I'm sinking fast. I need a life.
All right, so that's where we stand on our Big Blue Challenge. Okay, so that was last week. Get rid of that. So here's the question this week. What area do the Giants have to control? Which area is the most important that the Giants have to control of Houston in order to win this football game? Is it control the front, the pass rush of J.J. Watt? Is it control Arian Foster and the running game of the Houston Texans? Is it control the passing game, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and, of course, the great Andre Johnson? All right, so you've written it all down?
Yeah, got it.
We've got our Big Blue Challenge chalice. Roman, you're not going to have to throw it this week. I've decided to
play. Oh, you're going to give me, throw yeah, me, keep throwing me bones, huh?
Yeah, let's see.
Let me underneath. Oh, thank
there you.
Go. Thank you for the
Banksy,
assist.
Banksy, as we close out the show, you get to hold the cup for this week.
All right.
Since you now have the lead, Carl in front of Harry. 5-4, and Roman
drink,
is
drink.
Really struggling. That wraps it up for this week's show here on Giants first.
Wait,
and
Bob, let's go with a number 11 this week.
Number 11?
Yeah, let's go with a number 11. In honor of your 50th birthday, let's take a look back at some of the things you've done in your illustrious career here with the Giants.
Oh, this is going to be ugly. Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Giants Today. I'm Bob Pop.
Wow, even the biggest Giants fan would have never expected a 14-win season, but the Big Blue faithful are now hoping for a 15th on Sunday.
Welcome to the all-new Giants Online.
Stop that. This guy loves to have fun.
Thank you very much for what has been a banner season and an NFC East Championship.
This team's been a high-character team this year. You guys have had some bumps, 0-2 start.
Well, the Giants' journey to Glendale, Arizona in Super Bowl 42 was a wild ride.
Joining me, as always, my co-host, the Senior VP of Communications.
Come on, let's give it another shot.
Yeah, we got this.
For a long time, so I went over again. Yeah. You know, is this how we're going to end the year with me going over and getting buzzed? Forget it. You don't care about my answer.
I love them when they call him Bob Pop.
Don Sperling, do the honors. A little bucket of ice is worth it for a great cause.
Wow. That was,
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Bobby Papa.
Papa son.
Happy birthday to you.
How about that?
How about that?
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. You know, I first started doing the Giants pre- and the post-game show on radio in 1988. You were still playing.
Yeah.
You were still in the middle of your career. Yep. So I've known you guys for however many years that is.
A long time.
You know, and then doing the full-time play-by-play since 95 and doing all these TV shows. You guys have been like a part of my family.
We are family.
Yeah, we are family.
We are family.
Am I supposed to cut this? All right, I'll make the cut. All right, here's the cut.
Oh.
There you go. All right. That's it. 50, the big 5-0. Hopefully I get 50 more. For Carl, Harry, Roman, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for watching Giants First and 10 here on MSG. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Blow out the candles.
This is really awesome. Thanks to everybody at Carlos Bakery. I want to thank Buddy, obviously, Mauro, Frankie, Angelo, Mary, and everybody at Carlos Bakery. My favorite, red velvet cake on my 50th birthday. Pretty awesome stuff. Thanks, guys.